Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Do Work Podcast. This is Steven.
Hey, guys. What's going on? It's Cody.
The holiday seasons are upon us.
Merry Christmas.
Cody went out and bought a whole bunch of gag gifts, didn't you?
I did, actually. I bought a couple dick items, of course. You got to have some dick items whenever you're going to a Christmas party. And it's going to be all gag gifts and shit, too. So I got a dick toothbrush. That's going to go to somebody. Bouquet of cocksuckers is what it's called. That'll go to somebody. And a vagina-shaped lollipop. There's a pussy in it for somebody. And one I got for myself. I actually got myself one of these, too. It's a lotion bottle that unscrews, and you could put liquor inside of it.
Whoa!
Fucking epic.
Novelty flask.
Oh, yeah. Novelty flask. You can take this to the beach. I mean everywhere.
Yeah, because you go to the beach, what, like 20 times a year?
Okay. I can go to the water park and not be judged.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be drinking out of a fucking lotion bottle.
I could see it working over there. I'm just trying to think.
Movie theater? I don't know why you need it.
How often? Hey. Like, where all do you travel with suntan lotion or sunscreen?
I mostly just got it for the water park. Not going to lie. The water park would be so much better if you were drunk.
No, I agree. There's like a million screaming kids.
Yeah, and I've said this 1,000 times to my wife whenever we're there. It would be so much better if they just had like an adult's night where you just got fucked up and you did all the slides and stuff. You could drink, no fucking kids running around.
Yeah, because getting drunk and swimming in deep water is a great idea.
You're a fucking lifeguard, Steven.
Maybe they should just make everybody wear, you know, PFDs, personal flotation devices, if you're drinking.
Yeah, they got the lazy river.
Uh-huh.
I'll just chill right there and get fucked up and just float. That's the life.
Sounds like a plan.
We did it on the river. It was a great time.
And what are these gag gifts for?
We got our union Christmas party, Steven. We're going to get fucked up. We're going to have a good time. Everybody, we're going to have nachos. And you're going to miss it because you're on fucking duty.
Yep. They planned it on an A shift day, those fucking B shifters.
Hey, I'm not.
Hey, if you want to hang out with the C shifters, that's cool.
I wasn't in charge of the scheduling.
We're going to do work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all do your shit. And
while you guys get plastered. And if we get something crazy that night, we won't get help from any of you fuckers because y'all will be plastered.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
You didn't think that all the way through, huh?
Oh, definitely. I won't show up to the station drunk. I won't do that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We're not going to get any help. You guys are all just going to be like, well, fuck it.
Wink.
I'm 20 keystones in.
That's...
Maybe your wives can wear your bunker gear and come fight fire with us.
No. I'll be fine. Just 20? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm hydrated at that point.
No, Cody really doesn't fight fire drunk. None of us do. This isn't the rodeo. We take our job seriously.
Yeah.
And you guys are not going to be able to help. But this is what? Our first annual association Christmas party?
Yeah, because the city usually does a Christmas party, and it sucked ass.
Did it?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it sounded like it sucked ass. We didn't go.
Yeah, I think there was only the brass and maybe one firefighter in his family that went.
Weren't you on duty?
Yeah.
So.
And we didn't go.
You didn't go either?
No.
Oh, I thought y'all did.
Nope, they were having pasta. We weren't big fans of pasta, so.
It was going to be a spaghetti dinner. So we all envisioned a giant bowl of fucking spaghetti, and they're like, hey, congratulations, there you go, fuckers. Merry Christmas.
Spaghetti's pasta. So how were you let down?
I didn't go, so I couldn't have been let down. Oh. But it was nothing. I'm sure they would have had a fucking sock puppet show, too, for the entertainment.
Yeah.
They went super cheap this year.
They went really cheap, and usually the city parties, people bring their own alcohol.
They didn't allow any alcohol, so that automatically killed it for everybody.
Yeah.
So we decided, hey.
What kind of city party is it? An employee appreciation party if you
without
can't.
Without booze.
You gotta share a bottle and cut loose with your friends.
Exactly.
Or at least people that you tolerate for most of the year.
We're all professional and we gotta do all that crap. And at least one time a year, you know, you get to see everybody out of their shell.
And I think the fire department and the police department are the two that are usually the craziest.
Oh, yeah. The piano man was awesome.
So I've been on duty every year for the employee party, so I really don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, it's usually a good time, except for this year.
Okay, so let's talk about Christmas.
What are you going to do for Christmas, Steven?
I am going to sit at my house.
You're not going home?
No, I work Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas. So going home's not in the cards.
Yeah.
And then I work a shift at EMS a few days later. I am getting a tattoo, a really big tattoo on my torso. It's going to go below my belt line.
Yeah, Steven's going to get an octopus tattooed on
up to my nipples.
He's going to get the octopus tattoo
and all my
on his
ribs.
Butthole.
It's no. I showed him this stripper from Las Vegas who has this incredible octopus tattoo that goes all the way to her sphincter. It's the octo sphincter.
Octo. You know how bad that
What's her name? Deza Morgan? Y'all should check her out if y'all haven't already. It's a pretty legit tattoo, although I've always been concerned about getting one in that area because, you know, you got to take a shit. And
oh, yeah.
How do you keep that sanitary while it's healing? It's a wound.
Yeah, you're a fucking baby wipe full of alcohol shit. I don't know. They are fucking bad. That would suck.
It just doesn't sound fun at all.
Tattoo on your butthole. No, thank you. Don't want any part of that.
Yeah, so I'm going to get a tattoo, and that's how I'm going to celebrate my Christmas. I might even buy one of those black Christmas trees.
Why a black Christmas tree?
Why?
Yeah.
Because it sounds cool. And I'm a single dude. Who cares? See, in your house, you have a wife and kids. So if you wanted a black Christmas tree, that
got
idea.
I fucking toilet paper on my Christmas tree
that would
right
get
now, okay?
Shut down so. Real quick. Yeah, but that's because your kids are animals.
No, we got the elf on the shelf and he was being a little heathen and he toilet papered the tree.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so the elf did that, of course.
Yes.
But I work Christmas Day, so we'll be doing everything Christmas Eve.
I think I'm going to go up to the fire station and have one of those ribeyes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Y'all are having steaks. Every first responder working that day is going to have steaks.
On Christmas Eve?
On Christmas Day.
I didn't even know about this. Who said this? Who made this up?
You just found out on the podcast?
Yep. This is new information to me.
Yeah. Barb's Catering Service.
Oh, yeah? Elroy?
Uh-huh.
Elroy and them?
Captain Cox is making steaks for everybody.
Good deal.
I'll be there just to eat. Because I'm a mooch.
You fucking mooch.
So we interviewed Dan Kerrigan and Jim Moss.
Firefighter Functional Fitness, guys.
That's why you click this link, because you want to hear from them. And you will, but I have a few things to say.
Yeah, and plus you want to hear our shenanigans at least a little bit. By now, after listening to all the episodes, you've got to kind of enjoy this bullshit just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But anyways, if you listen to the interview, you'll probably get this impression that Cody and I are these huge, you know, hulking beasts that just lift 1500 pounds on the bench press, you know, and bend all the bars. And no, we don't do that.
No, no way.
You'd be astounded at how little weight I'm actually able to move. I'm working on it.
Well, yeah. And we're all working on it. I mean, I can move some weight too, but I'm a little chunky guy too.
Yeah.
I got a dad bod for sure.
Well, and I watch these videos with Brian Olsen picking up like 300 pound stones.
Yeah.
There's no way. Where do you even start? I tried doing that with a 20-pound medicine ball.
You're like, yeah.
Yeah. It's like really, really simple, obviously, with a 20-pound medicine ball. But you can't even get the form right because it needs more weight. So I guess you do need to just go up to a massive rock for your first time and try. I don't know. I know nothing about picking up stones. But fitness is one of those things that, as you'll hear in the interview, it's the bare minimum for a firefighter.
There's no excuse for showing up to work out of shape. We all get that way. I mean, we can. Firehouse food is fucking awesome.
And people bring cookies all the time.
And there's so much good shit. Like the other day, they brought 2 tubs of peanut brittle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's Christmas
every
time.
Year.
They're bringing all sorts of goodies to the station.
As soon as November hits for Thanksgiving, you get Thanksgiving meal invites to every church in town.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't go, they bring all the leftovers over to the
station.
You're
getting them anyway. So.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well go eat. Then you're going to get the leftovers anyway. So, I mean, you've got tons of cookies and candy and brownies and all the best stuff in the world.
And then you're running calls and you're rat killing. And
yep. And you know you're snacking all day. You're just like, oh, hey, look at this. And you eat that. And then
it's
a few minutes later, you're like, oh, hey, look, peanut brittle. And you eat that. And then a brownie. And
you have to make a conscious effort to get you and your crew out to the gym. And most departments, including our own, has a policy in place that we have to do X amount of physical activity every day. Actually getting to the gym can be kind of tough, especially when you ran several calls and you have to go here and you have to go there and you have to do this and that.
Yeah, you got your to-do list.
Before you know it, it's 6 p.m. and you just want to sit down in the recliner.
Yep. You've already had a day and you're tired and you really don't want to go to the gym, but you have to make time for it. That's why me with my crew, we have to go in the mornings. Right after truck checks, we have to go. If we wait till 3 o'clock or any later, like the other day, I was actually surprised. We went at 4. We got a good workout in, and what would if we go in the mornings, it's so much better. The rest of the day is awesome. I get up at 4:30 a.m. anyway, and I go to the gym before shift. I got to get a little bit of cardio in, and then I do a little bit of lifting usually. That's just my second workout. It makes me feel good. I kind of do more core and more stretching whenever we go as a shift. My guys, they work out. I mean, you just have to. You have to do it.
I've always considered myself a pretty fit guy. When I first got hired on, I put on 30 pounds of fat, and I've since trimmed that 30 pounds of fat, and I'm lighter than what I was when I was hired. But yeah, it's one of the basic requirements of the job is being physically fit, and going out to the gym and sweating and working on increasing your cardiovascular abilities and your fitness, your strength. It's tough. It's not glamorous. You're sweaty. It sucks. You're breathing hard. I think for me, I've been doing it regularly, so I'm used to it, and I actually feel really bad when I don't go to the gym. Like, I have to go to the gym.
No, I'm with you. But my whole day will be screwed up if we don't go.
There's guys, you know, on our crews, on our shifts, in our departments that do not spend any time on physical fitness outside of work. So if you're not there to push them while you're on duty, when are they going to get it?
Yeah, because they're not going to do it on their own. As soon as I leave shift, first thing in the morning, I go home, see the kids and the wife before they go off to do their thing, and then I go to the gym. I'm at the gym by 8 o'clock every morning. I have to get my workout in.
But not everybody's that way.
I know. Most people, though, problem is they don't know where to start. With me, I've been in the gym. I was a power lifter. I did football. I had that, I guess, instilled in me. And then I went to the military, still instilled in me. When I got out, I still did it. So, you know, I don't run as near as much as I should, but
physical fitness has been a part of your life.
My whole life. You know, everybody's got problems, right? I mean, you can have physical disabilities or physical whatever, but I mean, I deal with a little bit of that when, you know, the repercussions of me getting my ass blown off, but I still find ways to go.
Even without an ass.
Yeah, without an ass.
You got left in.
I don't know. I got plenty of ass. I can't run like I want to. I mean, things hurt, but I find different ways to do it. So I don't run during cardio. I mean, I've done a couple miles here and there, but nowhere like I used to. So what I do is I'll do an incline treadmill walk. That'll kick your ass too.
Or the row machine. There's row no machine impact on it whatsoever. But there's, yeah, you're right.
There's always different ways to do it. And with
you said a lot of people don't know where to start.
Yep. And with Firefighter Functional Fitness here, with the interview you're about to hear, you're going to listen to some guys that they're going to give you the tools you need and show you where to start.
Yeah, and you won't be able to get your crew involved if you're just bullying them or making it a negative deal, or you can't make it seem like a punishment. This is a job that requires an extreme level of physical fitness to do it right and to do it efficiently and to be the best that you can be for your community when they call on you. So whenever you approach physical fitness, you can't make it a punishment.
Yeah,
you have to make it an expectation that, hey, I have these levels that I make myself meet, and I need you to make that as well, because I need to rely on you.
And some people, they need to see it too. They need to see the reason why. With me and you, I mean, we're not the greatest fitness guys ever. I mean, we're not.
No, you won't see us starting Instagram.
Yeah, you're not going to see us followings in any calendars or anything.
Yeah,
but you know, we're not going to be the guy who gives up on the fire scene. You know, we're not going to be the guy that, because of his physical conditioning, can't continue working on a fire ground. You're not going to see that out of us. Will not happen. Whenever you can show that to your guys, and you can show them that firefighters are dying from, you know, all these heart-related incidents, that you can show them this stuff and be like, this is why we're doing it. I'm not doing this to be a dickhead, to say, hey, fat ass, get up and do something. I'm saying I'm trying to look out for your health. We're in a job that people are dying all the time because they're not in shape.
Exactly. We're going to go a lot more into detail about firefighter functional fitness. So as you'll hear later on in the interview portion of this episode, we will be going into detail about firefighter functional fitness and the importance of it, how it was started, the why.
Where you can get it.
Exactly. Hope you guys have a wonderful holiday season. Happy holidays from the liberal over here.
And Merry Christmas from Cody over here, who's not a liberal.
But happy holidays if you don't celebrate Christmas.
That's right. We love you anyway. Enjoy sucking on Saint Dicks.
Yo, are you recording? Is this working?
Yeah.
That was a great burp.
Awesome.
What?
Awesome.
There
Fucking
we go.
Great.
Fucking great. How's it going, everybody? This is Steven with the Do Work Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Cody.
So today we got two special guests on our show. We have Dan Kerrigan and Jim Moss with Firefighter Functional Fitness. Dan Kerrigan is a 32-year veteran of the fire service. He is an EFO, CFO, PFT, Chief Fire Marshal, and Department Fitness Coordinator for the East Whiteland Township Fire Department. The reason we have him on today is because he's the co-author of the Firefighter Functional Fitness, and he's an international speaker on firefighter fitness and wellness, as well as a certified peer fitness trainer. And our next guest is Jim Moss.
Jim Moss, he's a 14-year vet of the fire service. He's a co-author of Firefighter Functional Fitness. He serves as a captain at Metro West Fire Protection District. He's a national speaker at FDIC, contributor and writer at Firefighter Toolbox. Dude's got a bachelor's degree, studied in fire science in Columbia, at Columbia Southern University, where I got my degree at. I got mine in fire science also, my associates. But anyway, these guys are some two educated dudes and definitely know what they're talking about when it comes to firefighter functional fitness. So what's up, guys?
What is going on?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And more important than being educated, we're fit. So
yeah, definitely.
We're fit for the job.
Tell us about, you know, what drove y'all to create Firefighter Functional Fitness.
Well, it's kind of interesting. So we were on Twitter back in, Dan, was it 2015? Does that sound right?
That was a while ago now, right? Probably
2014, 2015. Yeah. We were posting stuff on functional fitness for firefighters and just making fitness more practical, more real for what we do for the job. And we didn't know each other. Dan reached out to me, messaged me. He's like, hey, what would you think about us writing an article for Fire Engineering Online? So we did that. It was called, what was it, Dan? The Four Fundamentals of Firefighter Functional Fitness. Mm-hmm. So we put basically our methodology out there, what we believe was important for firefighters, breaking it down very simple, very practical for firefighters. It was really popular. Then we talked to each other. We're like, hey, let's write a 8-part series on expanding this idea and really diving deeper. So we thought it was going to be an online type of 8-part series, an online article series. We started writing it, and then we kind of snickered at each other. And then we were like, well, I think this needs to turn into a book. So, you know, after a year of writing, rewriting, and editing, and taking tons and tons of pictures, 320 pages and almost 25 chapters later, we came out with Firefighter Functional Fitness in 2016. And wow, we're honored to say it's now in over 40 countries worldwide. And I think its appeal is due to the fact that we have simplified fitness for firefighters instead of being like researchers or scholars on the subject. You know, we're just firefighters like everyone else listening to this podcast, and we just want to break it down into the nuts and bolts and make it simple for every firefighter to understand how to get fit and stay fit and have a lot of career longevity in the fire service. Because we, as we all know, whether we're career or volunteer, you know, we're 20 or we're 60, we got to be fit for the job. That's a long answer to your initial question, but that's how it all came about through social media.
And it's been just a short 2 years, and you said over 40 countries. That's impressive. Well done, guys.
Oh, thank you.
So, Dan, I'm guessing both of you saw a need for something like this to happen in the fire service, something to be available for firefighters. I know when I was just starting out, I got bombarded by, well, because you know how a new firefighter is. They look up everything they can about the job, and they see all these different resources, and it's like, well, where do I start? And some of us have already been doing our own physical fitness routines, but not yet adjusted to the rigors of the job. And the first time you do a physical agility exam for a department, whenever you go out into the hiring process, it kind of wakes you up. Or heck, even in the academy, you see how physically demanding the job can be.
I think that there's a lot of information out there, right? I mean, I think just in general, not just on the fitness topic, I would say the fire service is in the middle of almost an information overload, if you will, probably partly because of social media. But I don't know that, at least Jim and I, we've learned as we contact people, we meet people, we travel around, that I think it was somewhat surprising that nobody had taken on this little task that we did to begin with, like making it simple and easy for firefighters to understand, to read, and get on with it. And that's where I think the appeal is. It's definitely research backed. We're proud to have some national, international scholars that have contributed one way or another to the book. So I think that helps as well. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there, I think, that want to know more about how to do what we need to do. They know it's important. They just don't know how to do it. And I think for whatever reason, we were able to come up with a way that was easy for them to understand.
Yes, sir. Jim, I'm with you, brother. Whenever I first started fitness, and I necessarily didn't think about, you know, being it being functional. I come from a, I played football as a kid. I did powerlifting and strength training through like that during the off season. So that's what I kind of based my workouts on was, you know, I do chest day and biceps and triceps and legs. And that's how I worked out, kind of more like bulking and not necessarily paying attention to cardio. And I, you know, I did a little bit of cardio here and there, but nothing like you guys are showing with the Firefighter Functional Fitness. The four pillars that y'all teach and the big eight, I don't want to go too much into your book. I want people to go out there and get it. But
No, we can go over it.
Yeah, definitely.
whatever you want to talk about.
I mean, that stuff is stuff I didn't really think about. I thought, okay, Monday, International Chest Day, time to get swole. Like Tuesday's leg day. I got Wednesday's shoulders and Thursday bicep and tricep and doing that kind of stuff. But after reading your book, I'm more focused on I've neglected my core like crazy. And okay, I say I do abs on Mondays, but I didn't do abs today. Not going to lie. Didn't do abs.
The basic message is it's performance based, right? That's really what we try to get across, right, Jim? I mean, it's about performance, right? Not about how big you can look or any of that.
And that was right? What I was training for. I was training for physique and not training for fit or for function.
And I think the thing we can get back to is we like to preach the good, better, and best. So it's good that someone's working out, especially if they're a firefighter. It's good that you're working out, that you're active. That's the biggest and first step, right? Just making sure you're committing to it. What is better is that, you know, you're starting to focus on certain things, like you are building strength, you're building physique. That's okay. You're maintaining a healthy weight. But if we go to what's best for firefighters and their fitness, it's bringing it all together and making sure we're well-rounded. And as Dan said, it's performance-based. We're focused on what we actually have to do on the fire ground or even on an EMS call where we have to maybe lift the patient in a very awkward fashion. And so if we subscribe to that best mindset, yeah, functional fitness is definitely the answer for firefighters for our performance and also our career longevity. You know, when I was younger, I was just like you said, I was focusing mainly on my physique. I was wanting to get big and like you said, big and swole for International Chest Day.
That's right, and, man. You got to have the pump.
And so I was focusing so much on that before I got on functional fitness that I actually tore my left pec muscle because I thought it would be a good idea to work out my chest 2 times a week. And 1 week I did that, I did really wide grip dips. And so my muscles were strained and tired already overexerted. And when I did that wide stance, that wide grip dips, I tore my left upper chest muscle. I had to take a long time off, a lot of rehab. And that's what really got me into functional fitness. So I was like, man, I'm only getting older and I need to make sure that I'm going to be able to perform this job for a long time, because looking at it now, I've got almost another 20 years in the fire service I hope to get in before I retire. So I know fitness is important, but I need to make sure that I'm focusing on what's actually going to translate the fire ground and also help me have a long and healthy career and retirement.
Most definitely, guys.
It's in the name, functional fitness, and that's what we need to focus on. Our job is very demanding. Structure fires, you want to be the guy who can last the longest as opposed to head straight for the ambulance, you know, 5 minutes in.
Yeah, Derek.
Even on EMS calls, whenever you're pumping chest and say you're on a code 3 holding and you got to wait for the ambulance to show up, that stuff is tiring, and you don't necessarily think about it whenever you first get into the job, how important endurance and cardio and just the ability to keep working. Because it's not a drill. It's not, this is sometimes life or death, and you have to be able to perform. Dan, I want to know if you've experienced this problem in your fire service career. You have a bunch of guys who aren't necessarily used to working out. They do the job, they show up, and you go out there and you try to encourage them to work out with you, and they say, you know, this is just going to tire us out. What if we catch a structure fire?
You know, it's funny. We get that question pretty often, and I think it's about balance. I mean, we certainly do encourage, and, you know, in my department, it's mandated that our folks work out. They get an hour of shift. We've let up a little bit on telling them exactly what to do because they're so compliant with it that we're pretty proud that we don't need to stay over top of them. But, you know, I would suggest that there are a couple things that, number one, if you've got individuals that are using that as sort of an excuse, there might be any number of things underlying that could be the cause of that. Anything from laziness all the way up to maybe an underlying condition that nobody knows about and that person doesn't necessarily want to talk about, right? So I think you have to find out why the person feels that way. There's many ways to work out on duty that you're not going to tire yourself out anyway, and we don't recommend that you do your most aggressive workouts while you're working. Number two, the fire itself, if you catch one, that's a good workout for you. So we don't need to work out again after that. But if you have those compliance issues, if you will, with certain individuals, you can also mask the training well, right? So if you go out and you're doing on the drill grounds and you're throwing ladders and, you know, dragging hose and doing whatever you're doing, if you do that at a certain clip, that becomes functional training as well. And they might not even realize they're getting a decent workout in when they're doing it because they're quote unquote training. There's a lot of different ways to approach it. I think the key for me is we have to remember this is a comprehensive issue that we're talking about. And the demands that we place on our body physiologically, the strenuous firefighting affects every body system we have. The research, the data prove it out. They show that we are asking our bodies to do essentially superhuman things sometimes beyond maximal effort at the scene of a fire. And we have to prepare our bodies the best we can for that, starting with an annual medical evaluation that identifies, if needed, you know, issues that need to be corrected. And then we need to stay on top of that. And we need to make sure we are not just working out, but we're eating right, we're monitoring our blood pressure, and we're doing the other things that we can to control the risk factors that we can control. Because we know that there are certain things on the fire ground we can't. So we need to focus on the risks that we can control, and hopefully we have a good result.
And the thing is, everybody on the crew, they could all be at different physical fitness levels. You may have some guy who's been on the job for 20 years, and then you have a fresh rookie. So the capabilities of their bodies to do some of these workouts is different. It varies. And I think whenever we're trying to encourage our guys to work out alongside us, it's important to shift the mindset that, hey, we're not going to the gym to get swole. We're not going to go pick up plates all day long and strain our back. We're going to be working on the rigors of the job and trying to emulate that. And it doesn't mean we have to kill ourselves doing that. And we can still get a really good workout pretending to pull ceilings or drag hose.
The key word there is you encourage. Right. Group fitness is a difficult thing. We know that it's proven that in groups, you're going to work harder just because of that extra motivation that you have, that Kohler effect. But you mentioned encouragement, and we want to stress that you're going to get more people involved in taking care of themselves if you're positive and not punitive about this kind of thing. It's important to recognize different levels of fitness and not expect everybody to perform at the same level and encourage them to do what's best for them and at the level they're comfortable with. And that the only competition that they have is themselves. There's nobody else that they're competing against. The more positive and encouraging we can be, I think the more we're going to get, especially the fence sitters that are kind of watching, you know, the people that work out, and they're going to start joining in, and they're going to realize that, hey, this isn't so bad, you know, and I'm going to start feeling better about myself as long as we include them and we're positive about it.
I'm really proud of Metro West and the fact that we do quarterly fitness training as a shift. We have 5 engine houses, and we split them up into 2 groups, and we have 2 different sessions. So that's about 10 to 12 guys or gals that we can all work out together. I lead the fitness training, and so we have a warm-up period. We have a conditioning period that lasts around 25 to 30 minutes, and then we have a cool-down period with flexibility, static stretching, and foam rolling and stuff like that. But what I'm getting into is that we have firefighters of all ages, genders, fitness levels, and everybody has different strengths and weaknesses. And so when I set up the circuit for our firefighters to do, I make sure that there's 3 different levels. So I do a base level, and then I progress it to the next step. And then there's a third step on top of that. So when I demonstrate these exercises for our firefighters, I make sure that they know that they take it at their pace, at their level, wherever they're at. And I think when we're working at the firehouse and we encourage other firefighters to do that with us, we need to do the same thing. Set up, you know, maybe 5 or 6 stations in a circuit style workout, and then have different amounts of weight or different levels of difficulty at each station. That way the other firefighters who are maybe less fit will see that, hey, I don't have to deadlift as much as he's doing. I don't have to carry as much as he or she's doing. And it makes it more appealing, less threatening, and more open for them to want to participate and come back again.
Yeah, I think the key word there is less threatening. I know whenever we go out we work out as a crew, and occasionally I'll see one of the guys just kind of piddling around. And for a while I didn't know what to do, so I just kind of left it. But after a while I said, hey, come join us. Come join me in the cap. You know, let's do this. And they did it. And we did the whole workout, and everybody felt really great after that. And it's all about sort of fostering an environment where I don't care if you can't lift as much as me. because at this point in your life, you haven't worked out as much as I do or whatever. That's not the point. I don't care about the numbers. I just want to see you work. Mm-hmm. I just want to see you move. And we did a very grueling 3-day RIT training a couple years ago, or was it last year? And that really impressed upon a lot of the guys just how far short they fell
in their physical fitness. It was a punch in the face to those guys where they actually had to push themselves to limits that they weren't used to, and they actually saw where their level of physical fitness was.
And so we started putting an increased emphasis on physical fitness, and whenever we really got into it, I mean, we've kind of fallen off a little bit, but we're getting back into it again. It seems like it's a roller coaster at times.
You're right. Doing
things as a crew, but I remember even from those guys who were shocked by that training, I remember them saying weeks later or a month later or 2 months later how much better they felt. And, hey, keep pushing me to come work out with you guys because I'm feeling really good. Or we may go a month stretch of not doing anything and they'll say, man, we really need to get back to the gym. You need to motivate me because I'm not going to do it.
Well, they need that positive peer pressure.
There you go.
No doubt that the fire will humble you in many ways, right?
Yes.
It humbles you in many ways.
One thing that I really love about Firefighter Functional Fitness is that y'all cater to guys who might not have any background in fitness. The program in the book, whenever you're reading it, it goes through everything. I mean, Dan, you wrote that it was in one of the bios that your 40-year-old body couldn't compete with your 20-year-old brain.
We're all invincible, right?
Yes, sir.
When we were teenagers, we're invincible. We're firefighters, and it's the truth, you know, and that's why, I mean, part of the reason we're doing this is for the fact that there's no national mandate for wellness and fitness in the United States Fire Service. There's lots of standards out there, but it's still incumbent upon the organization, the individual to do it. You know, we decided we needed to talk to the individual firefighters, and we want to address it at all ages and experience levels, but I think that if we get the youngest of the bunch on board now, that part of the hope is that 10 or 15 years from now, it's going to become commonplace in a lot more fire departments than it is now. Just like when I first started in the fire service and SCBA were for emergencies only, well, we tend to wear them regularly. We can change things for the better. It's just going to take time. But that was part of the reason that why I went down the path I did. There were several reasons, but one of them was personal, because I literally came to the realization that I know what I still need to do and want to do, but my body's not compliant anymore like it used to. And I need to get on the ball. And that's the truth.
That's what I really love about the book is, it caters to people who, you know, you're the 40-year-old captain who really hasn't done much fitness-wise, but here's a place to start. You're the rookie right out of recruit school. Here's a place to start. It gives them that spot, and it teaches them, you know, the big eight and the four pillars and just somewhere to go. They see guys like, I don't know, I call myself a lug. Like, I'm a pretty big guy. My guys aren't going to want to go in the gym and throw the weight around that I throw around. They see that and they get intimidated by it and automatically shuts off their willingness to work out. But with functional fitness, we all do those same tasks on the fire ground. So they feel that work and they're like, oh man, I can do this. I've been doing this for, you know, 25 years, pulling ceiling and all that stuff. And that's different than bench pressing.
It really comes down to the fact that, I mean, I think Jim would agree that when I say comprehensive, I mean, we have to combine that endurance and that anaerobic function with functional strength and put it together. We have to be able to be strong, but to be able to be strong over a longer period of time as well. It's not important as much to be bench pressing 500 pounds, you know, but not able to work for more than 5 minutes at a time versus the other, right?
Definitely. When I first graduated high school, I joined a gym and entered in a 2-year contract. Word of warning, if there's a contract in a gym, don't do it. But I had a trainer for about 6 months. He was a Marine, very, very, very fit guy. And for the first month, he had me lifting no more weight than 3 pounds. And I was doing a lot of body workouts and jumping up in the air and lunges and all that. And I did it for a month and it was killing me. But I asked him one day, why are you making me do this? He said, you see those big guys in the gym over there? They may be very big, but they can't last. They have no endurance. They can't continue working. So I'm trying to build a foundation for you to where once you do go start moving all this weight, that you have the stamina, you have the endurance, and you'll hopefully avoid injuries. Jim, I want to talk about the four pillars that you guys have. I want to let our listeners
know
what that's all about.
Awesome. So the first pillar, and it's what most firefighters think about when we talk about firefighter functional fitness, that's physical fitness. Moving on, we have rest and recovery. We have hydration and nutrition. So that, those make up the four pillars. The majority of the book and majority of the workshops we do when we go out and teach are all centered around the physical fitness pillar. Within that pillar is what you mentioned already before, is the big eight concept. And there's a great segue that you were just talking about, how we need to be dynamic in our strength. We need to be dynamic in our physical fitness, because it's not just single-sided. And so there's a big reason why within the big eight, we put core strength as first, cardiovascular capacity and flexibility, those three first. And then eventually we move on into the functional strength categories, the five remaining categories, which are push, pull, lift, carry, and drag. If you have a weak core, this is why we started off with core strength in the big eight. If you have a weak core, it's going to compromise everything else. You can have great bench press strength. You can have great upper body strength. But if you have a weak, compromised core, what's going to happen whenever you go to drag 5-inch hose 200 feet down the street to make a hydrant if you have to? Your core is going to tire out, or it's going to be non-existent. So all that upper body strength you've been building isn't going to do diddly squat for you. So that's why we have to build up that strong core first, so it links the top part of the chain to the bottom part of the chain. And so building core strength isn't something to where you have to dedicate a whole day to it. We like to tag it on like 10 minutes before workouts as a warm-up, or 10 minutes after workouts as a cool-down to a more high-intensity workout.
And not to interrupt you there, Jim.
Yeah.
One thing that hit me hard whenever I read that was what you're doing when you're working out your core, the way that y'all speak whenever you're in the book, isn't necessarily just going to be your abs. Your core is your back and everything else that we hurt so much as firemen. And with a weak core, you're going to have back injuries. And that's one thing hit me. I was like, damn it. Like, I've been struggling with that, and I haven't even been thinking about my core.
Exactly.
And it is the foundation. When it comes to actual strength, your core is your absolute foundation. You got to have that first.
And going back to what you were saying, it's not just abs. It's your back. It's your upper. It's your lower. It's your sides, your obliques, flanks. It's everything all in your torso, and including some of your hips and some of your shoulders, too.
I hate side planks, by the way. I hate planks, and y'all make me plank with the book, and
gonna,
I just hate
we're
it.
We're going to do it more. but going back to what you were saying, is that for firefighters and their backs, with all we lift and the awkward positions that we have to lift and twist and drag things, we really need to build up more of that posterior chain so we don't have a compromised lower back. Growing up, I lifted a lot of things, and not just within fitness, just random things I've lifted up, you know, when I was younger, that I could get by doing without getting injured. But now I can feel, if I'm lifting up something heavy in an awkward position, I definitely feel more of a twinge and a compromise than I would before. So we may be able to get through that and get by with it when we're young. But, you know, if we're going to be firefighters and lifting up these patients, this hose, fans, saws, whatever, carrying them in an awkward position, we really need to build up our core strength, and especially our back, our posterior chain. I think deadlifts don't get enough credit. And when I say deadlifts, some people may be thinking, oh, that guy who can deadlift 300 pounds on a barbell. Well, I mean, it could also just be a simple 50-pound sandbag that you're deadlifting. It could be, you know, a 50-pound kettlebell on the single side of your body. That's going to build a great amount of core strength, too. And Dan can testify to this because I know he loves him a lot. But just carrying weight on one side of our body, those asymmetrical carries, those asymmetrical holds, whether it's a farmer's carry, like an arm's length carry at your side, or you're carrying something on your shoulder, whether it's a kettlebell or a ladder, that takes incredible core strength for you to not fall over, because you're using all of your core to counteract where there is no weight on the other side. So, I mean, multiple different ways we can build up core strength. We don't have to be doing the deadlifts with 500 pounds. You can also just do simple deadlifts with a light amount of weight to build up that core strength and that posterior chain, as we mentioned.
Yeah, for me, the deadlift has always been intimidating. I always feel pressure to put on plates, and, you know, whenever I get home, my back is killing me. And I also stray away from the asymmetrical workouts because I always thought, well, I don't want to be disproportionate. But you're absolutely right as far as how important that is, because in our job, we lift objects that don't have handles.
And we lift them to one side. Like if you pick up the extrication power plant, all that weight's on one side of your body. And all this that you're doing with the core is what we use daily on the fire ground. And I've been neglecting it, I'm not going to lie.
Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah. I'm getting better,
though. The key to the asymmetrical lifts is just that you do it on both sides. So if you're like OCD like me and you don't want to be uneven.
I have to put on deodorant at a different number. At the same number. I'm OCD as it gets.
Yeah, right. So you just got to make sure you're working both sides. But that's going to obviously, the beauty of the movements and exercises that we specify in the book is that virtually all of them, for real, I mean, engage your core if you're doing them properly anyway. So a lot of what we teach is value added, so to speak, right? It might have a primary purpose, but there's also secondary positive effects as well. So if you're following the correct form and you're lifting or pushing or doing it correctly, you're going to have to engage your core and you're going to have to strengthen your core along the way.
I want to know about your book, how much it costs, where can you find it? Is there a website that we can reach you at?
So if you want to find our book, you can go to our website, firefighterfunctionalfitness.com. There's free downloads on there. We have this free download that's called the 10 biggest mistakes that firefighters make with their fitness and how they can avoid them. So that's a completely free download. You can download that for yourself or your crew for a little company crew training if you need any ideas for your fitness. Also have other downloads at our website, podcasts that we've been on as well. And so the book retails for $35, and I would definitely testify that it's quite the bargain. And as we've mentioned before, with all that we have in it, 320 pages, 25 chapters, that may sound a little intimidating, but it's such an easy, simple read because we are firefighters. We speak to firefighters all the time. And it's not in any cumbersome or high level, words or reading or anything like that. It's super simple, broken down for firefighters. And that's why it's had the mass appeal of not only being all over the U.S., but being in over 40 countries worldwide now. And we're always getting notes and emails and messages saying, hey, we love your book. Wish I would have had this at the beginning of my career. Wish I would have started doing the stuff that's in here at the beginning of our career. If you want to message us or if you want to reach out to us, there's a contact us form on our website. For myself, my email is jimmoss911@gmail.com. Please reach out anytime. We reply to all of our emails. Dan's is dankerrigan911@gmail.com. And like I said before, we love talking fitness. We love helping people. And so if there's any way we can do that, please send us an email. If you have any questions about the book, send us an email or a message, and we'll get right back to you. We're also on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, @FirefighterFFit. That's @FirefighterFFit. And we're posting stuff daily, whether it's motivation and mindset or it's actual physical fitness or nutrition tips, hydration tips, flexibility tips, all those different things we put out on our social media either once or twice a day. So please follow us there as well.
Awesome. $35 for the book at Firefighter Functional Fitness. I definitely think that's a great bargain because whenever you get into the fitness world and you start looking at supplements and meal plans, and if you decide to go with a personal trainer or whatever, I mean, I spend more on my pre-workout than the cost of your book. So
definitely, I do too.
And there you go.
So, and that's laying the foundation for it.
I can promise you that it's not a coffee table book. I mean, we'd love to see pictures of the book or have somebody come up to us at an event and say, hey, check this out, can you sign it or whatever? And it's, it's dog-eared and it's highlighted and it's a gym bag book. It's a resource. You're going to benefit from it for years to come because it addresses all levels of fitness. Certainly not something you're going to read and put on the shelf.
What I want to share with our readers,
our listeners.
Sorry.
Future God. Readers.
Yeah, edit that out, Stephen. I want to share with our listeners just some knowledge in chapter one that hit me. I don't want to, share y'all's book with everybody because I bought it twice. Like I bought the Kindle version and I soon realized I'm not a Kindle guy. I like having the books, on one spot, but I'm a paper guy. I got to have actual paper. So I bought it twice.
Too.
And Justin, there's four quotes in chapter one that hit me hard. And first one being, and me and Steven's gone over it, so I'm going to read one and Steven will read one. But being physically fit for duty is one of the most vital and fundamental ingredients of being a successful firefighter.
Preach it.
I'm telling you, yeah, like That's one of the most vital and fundamental ingredients of being a successful firefighter. We can talk about all different tactics and all different strategies and clean the tools and have the best looking stuff, but if you're not physically fit to perform whenever you hit the fire ground, you're worthless. I mean, you're going to last 5 minutes and then have to go in the back of the ambulance. So I read that right. And I was like, you know, and that's not even 20 words into the first chapter.
Right. And that's the foundation we wanted to lay for people getting into the book. Like, this is the mindset that we all need to have moving forward. And if you can't get no pun intended, if you can't get on the same page with this, then you're going to have a hard time going through that book. But if people have made the leap to get the book, they know that they're making their fitness priority already.
Absolutely. So the next quote is...
The next one hits me hard, and it ought to hit everybody hard, because this one just throws it in your face.
You can never train too much for a job that can kill you. That's 100% true.
And like the last podcast that we did with Bobby, we talked about how NFL teams, professional sports teams, you know, they train and do the same plays and yada, 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 but we don't do that and a job can kill us.
Exactly. Yeah, that's for, you know, their million-dollar paycheck, right? And they get to go home to their family, whereas we have to go on the job for something unknown, and it could be something that can kill us at any minute. And when that complacency reigns in, whether it's, you know, with a lack of fitness or something else, lack of training, that's when SHIT, as you would, hits the fan, and we don't know what to do.
So you can definitely say it on here.
Train more.
On here, buddy.
All right, good. That's when the shit hits the fan.
Yes, sir.
All right, good. We lull ourselves into that complacency, and that's why we have all these ideas, this mindset within our book to communicate to whether it's a 20-year veteran or a guy with 20 days on the job, we cannot be complacent about what we're doing. We have to train more. And I feel like, you know, as a company officer, we can't train enough because there's just so many hazards we respond to, and going back to that fitness, that's the bare minimum. I mean, that is the bare minimum that we need to be fit for this job, because that's what we can actually control as opposed to all those variables that we cannot control.
Yes, sir. Complacency kills, man. And if I could paint a wooden sign or something and put it in every single station across the United States, it would be this one quote. And it says, "The more we choose recliner time over fitness time, the faster and deeper we dig our own graves."
Yeah, I love that quote.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have wrote it. Yeah. Oh, wait, we did.
Oh, wait, you did.
I think we ended the chapter with that, or close to the end of the chapter. And that's just something that rings out. And I'm glad you reread it for us, because it puts it fresh in our mind again, and just how important it is. I mean, we can choose so many different things at the firehouse. We can choose playing ping pong or just sitting in the recliner. And those things are okay. They're okay, and they have their place. But when we're doing those things more, and those things are more of a priority than our physical fitness, we need to reevaluate, because we're not doing ourselves
a service. It's all about priorities.
Yeah, it is.
That's really what it's in. On an individual level, on a company officer level, on an organizational or executive level, it's all about priorities. And making sure we're putting first things first.
And definitely, guys. And then the last quote that I have that, I mean, it pretty much sums it all up. This book is going to throw it in your face. It's going to make you look hard at yourself, which, I mean, it did me, like we've discussed before. But your personal attitude, accountability, and commitment to act are the three cornerstones for your success. That throws it on you. It's your attitude, your accountability, and your commitment are the cornerstones for success.
Because your body, like we said, and many people have said this, your body can accomplish pretty much almost anything. It's your brain that you have to convince. John Sparrow has said it many times. A number of our colleagues say that our first stop is right in our own heads, right between our ears, and how you view the importance of what you're doing and the oath that you swore, and, you know, the fact that you are, in fact, held to a higher standard, and you should be. That right there, pretty much, I know Jim knows that that's my favorite chapter of the book, in all honesty, is the attitude, accountability, and action.
And most importantly, that action, right, Dan? I mean, that's what it all comes down to. We can say we're going to work out. We can say we're going to take care of ourselves, but until we actually do it, it all means nothing.
Now, you can make the greatest plan. You can have the best policies and procedures in your department for making you work out. But unless you do it, it don't mean shit.
Right. Yep. I love it.
Jim, can you tell us how did you and Dan meet? And how did y'all get this from, you said you put it in a magazine and then you created a book. How did you guys meet? How did y'all decide that this is an issue that we both need to focus on?
Yeah, I mean, well, like I say, I mean, we were just posting stuff randomly. We didn't know each other at all. We were posting stuff randomly on Twitter just for about making fitness functional for firefighters and just promoting the importance of fitness like we're talking about right now. And so we were just doing that on Twitter. And Dan's like, hey, man, what's up? I like what you're saying. I like your mindset. And he's like, let's get together on this. And as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. That's what Dan was for me. I mean, we just kind of, he reached out to me and we focused our ideas a little bit more. And it was just like that synergistic effect. You know, we have, each of us have our own strengths. We have our own perspectives on fitness, but when we mashed them up together, that's when it blew up. We push each other every day. We communicate virtually every single day, whether it's a text message, a call, or an email or something. He's in Pennsylvania, I'm in Missouri and St. Louis. And so it's just a great relationship we get to have with each other, because as you guys, I'm sure, know, you push each other, you make each other better. And when one guy is kind of lagging behind, you're like, hey, let's get back on this horse. Let's push each other harder. Just like we do in the firehouse. Every firefighter should be doing in the firehouse. When they see one guy is lagging behind, they pick him up and they hopefully make him better.
You know, we decided to make that commitment up front. I mean, we're not going to be hypocrites, right? We have to lead by example. So.
Oh, definitely. And especially if you put yourself out there in front of your own department and you're not doing the stuff you're saying, they're going to eat you alive.
Exactly.
Oh, of course. You know, but we invested a great deal of, obviously, as you know, you guys are familiar with this, time, energy, effort, and putting some stuff out there. Even, you know, when we decided, okay, it's time to get together for real in person and start doing some work, and, you know, got on a plane and went down there and did a bunch of work with him. And we had no guarantees that anything was going to ever be successful or even remotely positive or anything like that. But we believe strongly in it, and we still do. And I think that, as much as anything else, is what makes it so effective and friendly for everybody to use.
Right. And I think what Dan is trying to say, that he said, it's time to hop on the plane and do work.
Do work. There you go.
Do work. And I spelled it D-U-E. Do work.
There you go.
Do work.
There you go.
Exactly. Well, and it's awesome that you guys got together and did this and put out a product that I'm sure everybody can be really proud of. And we really appreciate it. Tell us one more time where we can get the book and how we can contact you.
Yeah, that's firefighterfunctionalfitness.com. Easy to remember there. You can contact us through our website, through that Contact Us tab. Or you can always email us, jimmoss911@gmail.com. Dan's is dankerrigan911@gmail.com. Follow us on our social medias at FirefighterFFit. That's for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter as well. Dan's also active on LinkedIn, if you're on LinkedIn as well. Dan, did I miss anything?
The only thing is you could actually just email firefighterfunctionalfitness@gmail.com too. So we have
that's easy too. Yep.
That's easy too. So
there you go.
You could do it. There's any number of ways. And I promise you, we answer every single person. We take the time to talk to people, to email, to message, whatever's needed. We don't overlook anybody.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show and doing this interview with us. It was awesome. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, guys, definitely. Thank you all again. It's such an important message to get out there to guys about, no matter if you're 40 years into your fire service career and you haven't started any kind of fitness training, or if you're brand new to the fitness, like, here's where to start. Get this book, read it. And I'm telling you are not going to be disappointed with the training that's going to come out. If you've been bodybuilding training, or you've been powerlifting training, or I don't know, strongman competition types training or whatever, and you're suffering on the fire ground from it, like I was, like I'm running out of gas on the fire ground, because I'm a freaking big lug. I start functional fitness. I'm telling you, I'm seeing some amazing results, guys.
And you guys were one of the first ones to agree to do an interview. Sorry it took 10 episodes, but again, we're super grateful to have you guys on.
Awesome. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, so y'all just got done listening to Jim Moss and Dan Kerrigan of Firefighter Functional Fitness.
The Firefighter Functional Fitness Gurus, ladies and gentlemen.
Brought to you by the Do Work Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed that.
And if you got any questions, definitely hit them up. They're quick to respond. They're firefighters just like us. They're plugged into the fire service. I mean, we're just normal guys. I thank you for listening to us, but It doesn't make me any different than you listening to me. I just have a microphone and get to put my bullshit out there on the air. And I feel like Dan and Jim are the same way. I mean, they wrote a book. Yeah, cool. But they're still firemen at heart.
Uh-huh.
They just have a message that they want to put out there with it being functional fitness. And yeah. it's a great book.
They went all in. They saw a need, a hole that needed to be filled in the fire service. And yeah, they went out and did the research. Oh, you like holes being filled, don't you?
Oh, yeah, daddy.
So it's a great read. Definitely will change the way you think about fitness if you're not already approaching it that way. This job, like we've said many times, it can kill you. And one of the leading causes of LODDs, as I'm sure you all know, I probably don't even have to say it, cardiac emergencies. You got to be in shape. You got to work on your cardio. You got to get your heart muscle just as in shape as your biceps.
People choose recliner time over workout time. I mean, we've all done it.
Yeah. And the thing is, physical fitness can be intimidating, especially if you haven't done it in a long time or, you know, you've never done it. And then you see all these guys and you know that you have the expectation to be fit. You know that that's on there. Like as soon as you got the job and there's just that notion of firefighters being super fit. So if you're not used to it, it can be intimidating. That's why you got to encourage them. You can't pressure them negatively. You know, bring them in. Bring them into your workouts, and I think you'll be surprised, and they'll surprise themselves, too.
Whenever we think of fitness, you know, whenever I did, I used to think of, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, and you think of all these bodybuilders and how huge and muscular they are, and you think of guys that are, you know, just muscular and ripped, and they got the six-packs, and they're badass. But what's cool about this is functional fitness. This is being fit on the fire ground. So if your fire ground fitness is shit, like, cool. You know, I'm a big dude. I can bench press and squat and do a bunch of cool stuff that's big weight, and you might consider that tied with fitness. But if I go out to a fire ground and I last 5 minutes and I'm gassed and I'm done, then my fire ground fitness, where I'm supposed to be fit, is lacking. So me, myself, I have to address that.
You got to love the planks. You got to learn to love them.
Fuck planks.
The planks, the burpees, the bear crawls.
I hate all that, but I do it. And, I mean, I can definitely see an improvement in my physical fitness. So definitely get their book. Check them out. Dan and Jim are awesome dudes, and the book is great. So get it.
Yeah, we don't sell products we don't believe in. And this is something that, I mean, it's brought to you by two firefighters, just like you, just like me, who I guess one day sat around and decided we need to do something.
Yeah, enough's enough.
Be sure to check us out on Google Podcasts, on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole bunch of other platforms. If you can't find one, send us an email.
Podcast platforms.
Send us an email at doworkpodcast@gmail.com. And also let us know if you want to be a guest on the show.
Yeah, definitely give us some feedback too. Hit us up on our Twitter @do_work. Check us out on Facebook, like we said. Just hit us up. We're always quick to reply. So definitely check us out.
Facebook, Twitter.
Share it.
Oh, yeah. Share it. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Say, hey, come listen to these dumbasses.
Yeah.
They're funny.
And if you don't like something Sometimes. We said, let us know, and we'll start a conversation. I mean, it's happened before, so, and we love it. We love talking to our guests. We love hearing from y'all.
Like hearing from the fans, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Tell us what you like, what you don't like.
All right, guys. Know your trade.
Do your job.
Do work.